I'm WBJC's Interim General Manager Jonathan Pilevsky. The end of June marks the end of our fiscal year, and I'd like to thank everyone who pledged during this time to support WBJC and everyone who listened. I thought it might be nice to say thank you by highlighting the life and works of a different composer each day until June 30th. Let's just call it 30 and 30. By the way, if you didn't make a pledge, you can still be part of our fundraising efforts this fiscal year by going to WBJC.com, and there's only about a week or so to do it, so why not do it now? He was born August 25th, 1918, in Lawrence, Massachusetts. His parents were recent immigrants to this country who were merely hoping for a better life than they had in Tsarist Russia. His father had no desire that he pursue a career in music, saying that he didn't want his son to grow up and become a klezmer. Sadly for his parents, the lure of music, and especially the piano, could not be denied. Our composer was also an excellent student, first at Boston Latin School and later at Harvard. While at Harvard, he studied with Arthur Tillman Merritt and Walter Piston. One could argue that even greater influences could be found outside Harvard when our composer met the conductor Dmitri Mitropoulos and the composer Aaron Copland. After graduating from Harvard with a music degree in 1939, what to do? He was interested and proficient at just about everything: composing, conducting, the piano. He wrote excellent prose and read voraciously. Everyone thought this great American phenomenon should go to graduate school, and the best place seemed to be the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia. There he would study conducting with Fritz Reiner and piano with Isabella Vengerova. His father, Sam, who had supported him through Harvard, was done with this music nonsense and refused to help him financially. Fortunately, Curtis had and still has free tuition, and Dmitri Mitropoulos helped him out with expenses. In the summer of 1940, something extraordinary was happening in the town of Lenox, Massachusetts, in the Berkshires. Serge Koussevitzky and the Boston Symphony were creating the festival we now know as Tanglewood. Aaron Copland had heard of it and recommended Leonard Bernstein to Koussevitzky as an excellent conducting fellow. Koussevitzky turned out to be a perfect mentor for Bernstein, and he thrived under his tutelage. After graduating from Curtis, Leonard Bernstein was fortunate in that he was able to land a job as an assistant conductor of the New York Philharmonic. The pay was low, and he would only get to conduct one concert at the end of the season. When asked if there was a contract, Bruno Cirato, who represented the Philharmonic, replied, "No, I don't believe in them." Frankly, Bernstein was thrilled. He would probably have done the job for nothing. On November 14, 1943, something extraordinary happened. Bruno Walter, the esteemed Viennese conductor who was supposed to guest conduct the New York Philharmonic, was ill. The music director of the Philharmonic, Artur Rudzinski, was stuck in snowbound Stockbridge. That day, Leonard Bernstein's career was born, and music in America changed forever.
United States Rubber Company again invites you to Carnegie Hall to hear a concert of the New York Philharmonic Symphony Orchestra, of which Artur Rudzinski is musical director. Bruno Walter, who was to have conducted this afternoon, is ill, and his place will be taken by the young American-born assistant conductor of the Philharmonic Symphony, Leonard Bernstein.
As a composer, Leonard Bernstein's career followed two parallel lines which occasionally crossed. There was Symphonic Bernstein and there was Broadway Bernstein. Symphonic Bernstein was serious stuff, as can be seen from his first symphony, Jeremiah. Written during World War II, it used quotes from the Book of Lamentations and was the right work for the right time. Bernstein's second symphony / piano concerto, The Age of Anxiety, was inspired by the poetry of W.H. Auden. Broadway Bernstein begins with a ballet, Fancy Free, a wartime story of three sailors who have 24 hours leave in New York City. Fancy Free eventually evolved into the musical On the Town, a wartime story of three sailors who have 24 hours of leave in New York City.
Town's a lonely town when you pass through, and there is no one waiting there for you.
Between 1956 and 1958, there was a convergence of three amazing events for Leonard Bernstein. First, there was the premiere of Candide in December of 1956. While Bernstein and Lillian Hellman and scores of other people worked on the operetta, it never really held the stage in its initial incarnation. The work would go through numerous versions and occupy the composer for the next three decades. Today, it is considered a masterpiece and, for me, a personal favorite.
Let us review lesson 11.
Paragraph 2, axiom of 7.
Once one dismisses the rest of all possible worlds, one finds that this is the best of all possible worlds.
Once one dismisses the rest of all possible worlds.
In 1957, it was West Side Story, Leonard Bernstein, Stephen Sondheim, and Jerome Robbins' retelling of Romeo and Juliet captured the world's hearts and minds, and they have never let go. Unlike Candide, which opened and closed only to open again and again, West Side Story took the stage and hung on for dear life. The movie was an even greater success, winning 10 Oscars. Ironically, none of them for Bernstein. Finally, in 1957, the New York Philharmonic named Leonard Bernstein first as co-music director of the orchestra with Dimitri Mitropoulos and then as music director when Mitropoulos decided to retire. Bernstein's innovations as music director were extraordinary for the time. He added pre-concert talks, hosted and televised the young people's concerts, and expanded the repertoire. It is not an exaggeration to say that the job of a conductor has never been the same since. Bernstein stayed with the Philharmonic until 1969 and then became conductor emeritus until his death in 1990. During this time, he conducted around the globe but had especially close ties with the Vienna Philharmonic and the Israel Philharmonic. Most of us would be happy with just one successful career. Bernstein had at least four: pianist, conductor, composer, and teacher. I'm WBJC's Jonathan Polevsky. I hope you've enjoyed today's 30 in 30. If you'd like to support WBJC's musical efforts, you can go online to WBJC.com.
And so